one of the things that I heard on the radio that just kind of stood out to me, the one thing that the overwhelming majority of very wealthy and successful businessmen had in common is that their fathers were self-employed. So the one thing that you pick up from having a father self-employed is confidence. And encouraging a child can just be a matter of giving him the confidence to pursue the dream or personality or spirit that God has put in him.
We're going to hear the rest of that from Charles, and I would add, it's not only being self-employed, you know, that's going to help you have kids that grow confidence. It's being a confident parent, just being a confident person and making sure your kids pick up on it. Confidence not in themselves, but confidence in Christ. And in our Christian families, our followers of Christ families, we should frankly be the most confident people on the planet. Not cocky, as they say, but confident. Right. Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. It's a parenting day today. We spend a couple days each week focus on marriage, and then a couple days we focus on parenting, because if you get these two right, other things sort of fit in okay. And intentional living is a life changer. Being intentional is the only way to win at this thing of being the kind of parent that you want to be and raising the kind of kids that you want to be. The Bible doesn't say, well, just kind of go at it. It says, train up a child the way he should go. And that takes intentionality. We're here to help you, and I can promise it will help as you hear the stories today. Maybe you have a question about parenting. You'd like some input from me. I'd love to have you hear the overlay of how intentional living can be make a difference in your family and your relationships and your kids. You have a question, you call, or I'd love to hear from people, part of my community here, who would say, listen, this is one thing that we're doing, one thing that we've learned, one thing that's helping us raise our kids. We are a community of people on a passionate journey to do a good job of living our lives intentionally in Christ. All right. Again, I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen. Let me open the phone lines to you in 3, 2, and 1. All right. 888-888-1717 is the number. It comes right on in the studio here. Stephen, I'll get you set up. Either have a question for me, or maybe you have a comment about one thing that you're doing in parenting. Let's do this together. 888-888-1717. Let's hear the rest of that call from Charles. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a retired preschool teacher, and I was listening to your program, and I just had three thoughts. For some years, I've been working on a little book, helping kids find their dream, and talk to a lot of people. But one of the things that I heard on the radio that just kind of stood out to me is that the one thing that the overwhelming majority of very wealthy and successful businessmen had in common is that their fathers were self-employed.
Wow.
And so the one thing that you pick up from having a father self-employed is confidence.
Yeah.
Okay, and encouraging a child can just be a matter of giving him the confidence to pursue the dream or personality or spirit that God has put in him. And so that thing of encouraging can be a matter of confidence. The second thing that came back to me, I've talked to 200 or 300 or 400 people about how they chose the careers that they're in. And the one thing that was a big surprise was that most of them chose very, very, very early in life, 4, 5, and 6 years old, from a person who took the time to spend time with them. And if you had a nurse that was kind to you when you were a child, you were interested in nursing. And that could be a thing that God put together. But the first thing I would say from being a retired preschool teacher is it's really surprising how early in life kids imprint or choose or are drawn to a particular course in life. And so taking time with a five-year-old can be a very wise investment. They're going to be soak up a lot more than teenagers.
That's excellent.
My third point was, as a preschool teacher, one of the things that we all did was we watched the kids. Before you can encourage a kid, you kind of have to watch them and get an inkling of what God has put there. And then you just kind of cooperate with God. If a kid has an interest in biology and living things, and you put the scripture and everything in there, But you can't really encouraging a child if you don't know who the child is, mm-hmm. and can't see a little bit of what God's put there. And I know from personal experience that if you're trying to encourage a child, you really can't do it without the Holy Spirit helping you.
Absolutely.
And you just pray, God, how can I encourage this child in the path mm-hmm. that you have for him? Because sometimes left to our own devices, we don't see what mm-hmm. God's put in the child.
Yeah, that's true. You've got a whole outline there, Charles. That's great. I can tell you're a teacher. He gave you some wisdom there. That's some good stuff. You know, I noticed as a parent and as a grandparent, you can see early on how the twig is bent when it comes to our kids. You can kind of see not only their personality, but some of their skills, their interests. Some you see pick up, they just have that kind of engineering mind. You can see it. They love to manipulate things and put things together, and they're creative and entrepreneurial. Others are going to be more in the bookworm. You know, they love to read and understand and quieter, and yet, you know, that's maybe going to be where they head. You can start to see those things early on in your kids. One of the things we tried to do in our home is to see our three children as they were growing and kind of pick up on what we saw their uniqueness to be and encourage that. Let them know. Because our three children, two boys and our daughter, they're all different. Each of them are different. They're unique. They have their own skills. They have their strengths and weaknesses like we all do. And, you know, it's interesting. They really couldn't flip and do each other's work. They really couldn't because they have skills and interest and passion in one area. And boy, when you get the wrong, you know, you get a square peg in a round hole and it doesn't fit, that's miserable. Some of you are there now. You felt like you got pushed into that and it really isn't what you're wired to be and do. And so finding that unique bent is powerful. All right. Thank you, Charles. You can join us. What's the one thing that's making a difference or a question for me? We love your input. 888-1717. Tina, you are first in line from Arizona. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. What's your one thing on parenting? Yes, I can. Go right ahead.
Okay, perfect. My one thing is I'm in agreement with the person at the beginning that said about the self-employed
yeah.
people are great parents. Yeah. My husband and his father were both self-employed. My husband's retired now, but the big thing I saw in that was their work ethic. Mm-hmm. If they didn't want to go to work, they still went.
Yeah.
And it made for teaching my kids to be successful. And that was, you know, obviously a part of their faith as well, that they needed to provide for their families, that was what God called them to be. But yeah, the big thing for them was their work ethic, and it has made a huge difference in my kids.
Did they work together? Was it a family-type business?
They did. My husband's father was an artist, and my husband worked for him. So, yeah, and, you know, had my father-in-law not been dedicated to his work, they would not have succeeded. But my husband now is in charge of the business now that his father has passed. And so it carried on to my husband. He also has to work hard to continue to make that business work.
That's interesting. How does he feel about that? Is it a positive thing with even though dad is gone, carrying on that legacy? Has that been a real positive thing for your husband?
Absolutely. I think probably both ways. It's been positive in the way that he gets to still work around all of the stuff that his dad, you know, painted and left behind. And he still gets to talk about his dad and share what the kind of person he was and that he loved Jesus to his customers. Also, my husband, you know, it won't go on forever because there's only so many paintings that he did before he passed.
Yeah.
So there will be a time when that will be over. And that is a sad thought, but my husband's almost to retirement time anyway.
That's interesting. Now, so, do you have like a gallery, an art gallery? Is that what you have?
He does. Yeah, it's in here in Mesa, and it's just a small personal gallery. So it's and it's great because my father-in-law's goal was to share Christ through his artwork. So, and what God did for him. So it was hugely instrumental in him being successful, I think.
And fantastic. That's really very interesting, very powerful. Thank you for sharing that, Tina.
Yeah.
All right,
my pleasure. Thank you.
God bless you. Keep listening. You know, carrying on a legacy can be a very positive thing. Sometimes it can be difficult, you know, meshing families. But Tina is reminding us, hey, when we have respect for each other, we encourage each other, and we get in that sweet spot. I get an opportunity to work with a couple of our kids, you know, two of our sons. I don't work with them on an everyday basis, but we share, and you're right. They're hard workers, passionate about what they do, want to make sure they, you know, it's never, hey, laziness. It's let's get it done, because they learned that from their grandparents and their parents. And now, of course, being balanced, not to overdo, right? There's always a balance in that. All right. Thank you, Tina. Appreciate it. Let's take a break. We'll be back. What's one thing in your family that's been working for you, or a question for me? I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
So how do you love someone who's an emotionally weak person? I'm not talking about the normal emotions that we have. I have emotional weakness, but when it becomes a pervasive problem to the point where you can't relate well with a person, you can't communicate, you can't get along, it creates a problem, right? Where does our emotional weaknesses come from?
In his message, How to Love the Emotionally Weak, Dr. Randy explains how you can respond in a way that's healthy for both you and the other person. And if you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, thank you for doing that. Your support's making a difference. God bless you for being a part of the Intentional Living Ministry, your monthly support. I'll tell you, a dollar a day is amazing. When you get a lot of people together, a dollar a day adds up and a lot of ministry gets done. And I thank you for doing that. Whatever you can do, be a part of us and allow us to be a part of you. Let's do this life together, this ministry. You can call during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or you can go to theintentionallife.com. And click on the donate there. Stephen, you whispered in my ear that you checked out Tina's husband's father's website painting. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And, pretty cool, huh?
Oh, it's. I'm sure your wife would love it too. This is just amazing. And so the website is blaylockoriginals.com. BlayLock, so Blaylock, the way it would sound, originals.com. And you've got something called See Trains Through the Eyes of Ted Blaylock, See Eagles through Ted's Eyes, See Explore Splendor of Southwest Through Blaylock's Beautiful Paintings. I mean, mountains is... So it's pretty remarkable.
Well, what is that? What's that? What do they do? What is that?
Yeah, right. So BlaylockOriginals.com.
All right, thank you. Oh, we just mentioned that. All right, thank you. Hope that was okay, Tina. Get the word out. Stephen mentioned my wife, because my wife is also a painter, but she doesn't have a website. But she should, but she doesn't. She just said, no, I'm just doing this. And then people see her paintings and go, wow. And so I've even had to say, Don, I want them up on the wall in our own home, because she'll go out and get somebody else's painting. I said, no, I want your painting on the wall. And so she has reluctantly... Maybe you're married to someone like that, just doesn't want to push themselves at all, you know, but very talented. All right. I don't know how I got there. We're talking parenting today, 888-888-1717. Vangie is in Arizona. How are you?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Fine. Good morning.
What's your advice for parents today?
Well, my advice for parenting, my husband and I was 50 and my husband was 64 when we started raising our five grandsons. Oh. We got them when they were from 2 years to 7 years. Their dad had committed suicide and their mom was an addict.
Oh, that's so sad.
And so we raised these five boys and we were older when we got them. But shortly into this, we had a counselor that taught us 1-2-3 magic. It's a form of discipline. They were raised in a Christian home. My husband and I are Christians, and we needed something that would work. And 1-2-3 magic is the most amazing discipline tool that any parent can use today.
Yeah,
and
how does it work?
That's what we use for discipline. Works absolutely wonderful, but you have to learn about it. You have to watch the videos. You have to follow it. Today's parents have been taught this, discuss with the child, talk to the child, speak with the child. The child knows what they're doing wrong. They're in 1-2-3 magic, there is no discussion. All you say is that's one. And you can start it when they're 2 years of age, and then you say that's two. It's different from time out because it's a very structured form of discipline.
Oh, very interesting. I've never heard of it, so maybe someone will check it out. But I would add, I do think you need to talk to your kids, by the way. But I would agree with you. In the experience I've had in parenting and working in counseling with families, kids don't respect words without being backed up with action. And of course, we're not talking about losing your emotion. We're talking about having your emotions. We teach here logical and natural consequences. If a child is disobeying, if a child is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and like you say, they usually know that, and it's either to get your attention or show power, that you follow through. And it could be that there's a privilege taken away, or there could be a timeout, or could be going to your room. But we're holding the kids accountable. The other thing is just a note on parenting. As a baby of the family, myself, and all babies of the family listening, we know how to push the buttons of the older siblings to get them in trouble. So mom and dad, watch out if your oldest son or daughter's saying, well, he started. No, he's my baby. Just leave him alone. Listen, babies know how to push the buttons. That's a whole nother show. Let's get on with our calls here. Thank you, by the way, for calling. We're going to leave the phone lines open. If you want to join in, one thing that's making a difference in your family or something you'd like to add with a question, give us a call. 888-888-1717 is the phone number. And I think we have a question coming in from Kylie in Alabama. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Kylie. I recently am no longer a single parent. I've just gotten married. My daughter is 2.5 years old. Her father has nothing to do with her. She actually has my maiden name as her last name. I don't know where he is. We are going to change her last name Friday and get my current husband on her birth certificate because he does love her as if she were his own. And we're kind of just wondering what we needed to tell her as she gets older, because I don't want her to think that her dad didn't want her or that he doesn't love her. And I'm kind of just at a loss.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the same time, Kylie, if I heard what you said, you certainly implied that dad isn't there and doesn't want to be involved. And so you want to tell your kids the truth, but that doesn't mean you have to project onto your daughter what her biological father's attitude was or why he was doing that. It's just a fact. Your bio dad just wasn't involved in your life. He chose to go in a different direction. And we need to pray for him. We need to pray Jesus will get a hold of his life, change his life, and that he can know the same joy and peace that we have. And I think that's a positive thing. I think the more we're honest with our kids at an age-appropriate level, and give them the hope and a future, I think that's the best thing. It's probably more of what you're wrestling with than what she's going to wrestle with, if you're honest with her. All right, I got another call. Let me see, another question coming in on single parenting. Go ahead.
Hi, Randy. Well, I'm a single father, two boys, and I struggle like every other single father and single parent to try to maintain a balance between paying the bills and providing them with what they need. So my question is, as a Christian, when things get very, very stressful around paying bills and taking care of the things that are responsible, what does God say about trusting in His word when things are more immediate, like taking care of bills, etc.? Thank you.
Yeah, all right. That's a question left on our comment line, which, by the way, you're always welcome to do. We love hearing those as well. If I was reading between the lines, Lee, I think you were talking about how do I divvy up the money I get? You know, how do I divvy that up during a month? Where does God come into this? And where does my needs come into this? And where do the kids' needs? And I've been just very, you know, the Bible's very clear. A tithe, the first tenth, is what God expects, and it's an opportunity to give back to Him what's already His. But I tell people who say, oh, I can't make that step right now. Get started. If you have to start with 2%, start with 2%. I've said that for many years. 3%. Trust God. Keep growing. See the blessings that He'll give to you. It's not just a monetary blessing, but that He'll supply for you in so many different ways. Trust Him. But I encourage, as Christians, that we get involved and start being active in sharing and caring for ministry and reaching people for Christ. I don't know. I read a statistic one time that the average percentage of giving from the Christian community was around like 3 or 4%. It was pretty low. And that as you make more, actually, the percentage proportionally drops, which is kind of interesting. So just have faith and step out. And trust Him. Take those baby steps. See what happens. And then, of course, the practical part of having a budget can make a difference too, right? All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. An emotionally weak person, when you're around them, you feel like you're walking on eggshells. There's that sense of, if I say something, or if I do something, or if I respond in a certain way, I'm walking on eggshells and I could crack. And so there's a sense of carefulness, being careful around this person. It could be that there's an overreaction to normal life situations. That's what I often will do when I'm feeling fearful or anxious. I'll overreact to little things, and Donna can tell you that. I'll overreact to them. And we all have these kinds of things, right? Another way you can see if a person is struggling with their emotions is, you know, when they're calling you on the phone and you see the caller ID, maybe you hesitate before you answer the phone?
Yeah, don't you do that. I do too. You know, usually it's spam calls, however, nowadays.
Where do these people, you know, God love them, but if you talk to them once, it's all over because you're on this mass phone number that they keep calling you. I'm not interested. Just tell people and they hang up on you. That's so rude. What was he saying? Oh, I know. He was talking about the importance here of dealing with our emotions. That's a clip from this month's featured lesson on how to love that person in your life who's just got some emotional weakness and they need some help in terms of building a strength in their emotions, and you got to love them. We give you some really practical things to do. Thank you for your support, for being a part of this ministry. God bless you. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Susie in Michigan. How are you, Susie?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. What part of Michigan are you in today?
Well, I'm in the Linden area and originally from Clio, Michigan.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that's Michigan is our home, and we started there and continue with such great ministry across the state, so we always enjoy hearing from Michigan. What's your question today, Susie?
Yeah, I'm looking for a resource or maybe even some books in the Bible. I have two sons. I'm a single mom, and my oldest has struggled for quite some time with what I see. He's a great kid, but a little bit of selfishness in many aspects of life. He's 17. I know that some of that's normal, but he bends in that direction. He's not very empathetic towards others. Feelings. He has other strengths, but this is a weakness, and I really want to work on it, bend him in the right direction without coming across as too harsh. And as a single parent, I don't have that person right there to bounce ideas off of. And I wasn't sure if you knew of a resource, a certain book or Bible lesson I could, or any idea, really.
Well, look, does he kind of know how to play you?
Does he run over you?
He does, and his brother. So his younger brother's extremely empathetic, caring, put others first, selfless. And so, yes, you know, and it's he does know how to play me because it'll be he's tired from school or practice or he's hungry. And, you know, there's chores that need to be done or he wants, well, he's okay. He well, wants to get his way all the time.
What keeps you from holding him accountable?
I guess I do hold them accountable. It just feels like it's a constant struggle, a constant battle, and I just feel like I'm not doing enough.
Well, how do you hold them accountable? What are the consequences for disrespect in your home?
Right. Well, the consequences are no devices or just make him do it. I mean, it ends up being an argument, to be totally honest, and it comes down to an argument and a conversation, and then he's good for a day, and it feels like it goes right back to selfishness again.
What is he angry about?
So, I'm not sure.
Your single mom, is dad involved in his life?
No, he's not, but he's got a great family around him. I mean, my parents live close by. My brother's involved in his life, so we go to church. It's just, he's very strong-willed, and he feels like he's always right. He's argumentative. He's a leader. He's got a lot of positive qualities to him. He's a firstborn leader, great decision-maker, protective, responsible. When he does something, he does it very well, better than I could do. But he wants to be in charge, and he's getting older, and he's wanting to control himself, but he has to still obey me. And
yes, he does.
Ultimately, he does.
Yeah, and you know
but
what?
It's just such a struggle.
Yeah, you know, the Bible says, children, obey your parents, but a child is a person who's still under the authority of a parent because they're paying the bills and you're feeding them and you're sending them to school. And once he's on his own, then he can make his own decisions. And not knowing all the nuances beyond what you've shared, couple just principles. One is, I would sit down with your son and I'd say, listen, you're 17, another year or two, you're going to graduate from high school, you're going to be on your own, your future's all ahead of you, but as long as you're here, these are three or four things that are going to be a reality here, son, and we can either do this the easy way or hard way. I mean, if you want, you don't want to drive the car and you don't want your phone and you don't want, you know, want me to do extra things to help you out, then that's your choice. I want to do those things, but it's a choice. It's part of growing up. But as long as you're here, this is the way it's going to be. I think it's going to require that kind of loving firmness because you said he's a good kid. And you know what? A good kid, and I say this kindly, isn't disrespectful to his mom. Okay? And so you as you hold him accountable for any disrespect toward you, you're setting him up for a better time in the relationships he's going to have in the future with a young lady. All right? I'll tell you what, hang on, we're going off the air. We'll give you some references as well. I'm Dr. Randy, got to run. You can join us, by the way. We're going to stay here with more, 888-888-1717. See you next time.